But you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you are seeing, to hear what you are hearing, but never had the chance. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much for this night and for the many gifts and blessings that you give to us each and every day. And tonight, oh God, we do pray that you will just open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts and our spirits, that we might hear you speaking to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see. God-blessed ears, ears that hear. I love those words in the Message, the way that Eugene Peterson has translated them and getting them across to us, because I know for a long, long time, I've wanted God-blessed eyes. I want to see the world the way God sees the world. I want to hear people the way God hears people. And I want to speak in the way that God would speak to the people around me each and every day. Friday and Saturday, many of us spent some time at the Love and Respect Marriage Conference. And you might think, oh, yawn. It can't be much more boring than that, especially the single among us. But he had some interesting insights into how we view the world. Emerson Eggerix, the pastor and sociologist who leads this, talks about how men wear blue-colored sunglasses, blue hearing aids, and speak through a blue megaphone, and women hear with pink hearing aids, see with pink sunglasses, and speak through a pink megaphone. In other words, we all have these filtering systems, and we can say exactly the same thing, and to a man might hear it one way, and a woman hear it completely differently. My favorite that he brought up was, if a wife brings her husband a marriage book, the third one this year, he says, wife thinks she's doing the loving thing and wants just to increase love, and the man hears, I'm in trouble. What did I do? What could go wrong reading this book? Tonight, though, I want us to think a little differently, not about blue and pink, but about God's glasses, seeing things the way God would have us see things, having our God-blessed eyes and our God-blessed ears, and maybe adding a God-blessed megaphone. When I was younger, and some of you are going to remember Amy Grant when she was a teenager. You know, she started, a lot of people think she started contemporary Christian music, not exactly, but she started at 13 or 14. She was a contemporary Christian artist when hardly anybody else was doing it. And she had a song that was very popular. I think it was one of her very first hits, and it was called My Father's Eyes. And the chorus says this, she's got her father's eyes that find the good in things when good is not around, eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through, and feeling it the same, just like my father's eyes. In this time that we spend together tonight, I want us to explore, what would it be like if we had God's eyes? If we wore sunglasses, and you notice it's misspelled up there, S-O-N, God's Son giving us sunglasses. If we see things the way Jesus wants us to see, what would it be like? What would we see if we saw it through God's eyes? And how might we attain that vision, God's vision in our lives. So in your little question time, talk about a time when you were overwhelmed with the presence of God. Does anybody have a story they want to share? Overwhelming presence. I love how you guys sell each other out every once in a while. She's got it. You're like, who's got the story? Nora, tell us.
I think for me, in a lonely way, is when we first found the lump, and I knew it was cancer because I was this amazingly peaceful. I just seen that God was there, and I knew that instead of that being good news, like,
absolutely.
But he was promising me to be there with me. And I found every single time that I found a hurdle in the future that it came to me that I thought it unbearable, I would just swamp at, you know, to the point of tears with his presence. And the part that just overwhelmed me is that I didn't even ask for it.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Wow. So the presence of God in the midst of pain and not what we would normally consider good news. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I saw another hand. Ramona, yeah. That's okay. Yes.
One was a Young Life leaders retreat back before we had kids. It was such an overwhelming feeling of the Holy Spirit presence in the room as we were worshiping that I still remember where I was.
Yeah.
The setting and everything.
And that's some 20 years later.
Yeah.
If it's before you had kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20
years later.
Wow.
Uh-huh. It was the first time that I had ever sung that song.
Yeah.
And it was also a Koinonia retreat.
Okay.
It was probably about 1989. And the pastor of our church was the spiritual leader for the retreat. And this young, cute, blonde gal named Robin Hamray was the leader of the retreat. And they met each other and fell in love that week. They got married. And,
oh, wow.
And
oh, well, yeah.
So every time I sing that song, I just remember that presence of God.
Sure.
In that group of
people. Okay, cool. Anybody else? Yeah, Fred.
I think it was a sweet one for me. In that the message that Emerson has was so powerful, and what was really moved was some of the sections where he's talking about men loving their wives, you'd see some of the husband's eyes on the shoulders of wives, and then he was talking about wives and respecting their husbands, wives on the go and that. if that's not the Spirit of God, I don't know.
Yeah, sitting in the back had its blessings, because Diana and I were talking about that too. It's watching as the retreat went on, people just, you know, the couples were leaning into each other. You know, it was really neat to see the transform. It was not that they didn't like each other when they came, but you just kind of saw the closeness just kind of build in those hours that we were together. Anybody else finding God's presence over Martha? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
We were driving my daughter to dance, and we had kind of had some trouble with this stuff, and I was just kind of worried about it. And anyway, we were sitting in the car, and she dropped her off, and I look at her, and just in my worry mode, and I look at the shadow of the sun, and just the way it appeared, it was just a cross.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, okay.
Very good. All right. Are there others? I know not everybody likes to talk out loud, but that's okay. Sometimes it's pretty ordinary stuff. I asked this question thinking I was going to get at the beach, on a mountain, in the woods, you know, kind of like mundane stuff. But no, this was better. This was cool. But in the midst of anything that we're doing, it's funny how at times God's presence can just overwhelm us. And a lot of times, though, did you notice it's places when we're ready, when we're open to God's presence in our lives. And did you hear, I want to just revisit the passage of Scripture that Krista read for us about having the right eyes and the right ears. And Jesus says these words, as soon as I find them, I'll share them with you. Jesus said this, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, Jesus said, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. Readiness. How do you get ready? Well, seriously, how do you get ready? Do you guys have an answer? What do you do to stay in touch with God throughout the week? And hopefully coming to worship is one of those things that we do to get in touch with God. But what are the other things that we do throughout the week? Do you have any, I'm not looking for speeches here. Any simple examples? Yeah, Krista.
Prayer.
Okay. Just going to God in prayer. And as we've talked about before, some of us are better prayers than others. Some of us get nervous, you know, just the whole thought of prayer is overwhelming to us. But just being still before God. What else might you do? Staying right with Him. What is that? What do you think? Flesh that out a little bit.
Just when I do something that I know is wrong. It makes
okay.
It harder to be close to God because I
do. Absolutely. Okay. I'm with you there. All right. What else? Yeah, Grant. Yeah. Just really preparing yourself, just saying to God, speak to me. I mean, that can be the simple prayer. God, make me aware. Let me see you today. I'm making you do all the work tonight. I have one more question for you. What do you think it looks like to see the world the way Jesus sees the world? Or maybe to put it a different way, how is it different? How does a human see it? When we start seeing the world through human eyes, how is it different than when we're seeing the world through the eyes of Christ with our sunglasses on? Boy, I'm so clever, aren't I? Sunglasses. Ooh, that's important, isn't it? Yeah, when we're caught up in ourselves, it's, how does this affect me? It's all about me, by the way. And that's the way we spend some of our time. How else? Krista. Oh, sorry, guys.
Sometimes you think through all your past baggage and you're critical of their behavior because for some reason they think you know better than that.
Okay. I was going to try and summarize that, but I don't know that I can. Did you guys hear that? Okay. Chris? Absolutely. The Word of God, being ready to hear the Word of God, even in not churchy places. If I was going to expand that to 21st century. We might not hang around with a lot of prostitutes today. Jesus spent time with people, lepers, and the social outcasts, but being willing to touch the people who were hurting. That's right on, Chris. Jonathan, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I thought I mentioned earlier, but I guess
Yeah. Very good. Seeing things as they are and not in our own distorted way. Randy.
I was thinking more like humble, humility, where he's not judgmental. It's all face value. You need somebody with no judgment.
Right.
Face value.
Right.
And you're there to serve them and to serve you.
Absolutely. I want to turn to a different passage of Scripture, and I neglected to put this on the slide, so I apologize. Did somebody have their hand up? I thought I saw it out of the corner of my eye. No? Okay. Can you turn to, if you have the Bible, there might be a Bible right in front of you, but we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, which is New Testament, almost to the end, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and there's two verses here, and I want to start with 16 through 18. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to do 16, 18, and then I'm going to back up a little bit, so keep your finger there. It says this, be cheerful. This is the message. If you got one out of the chair in front of you, it's different, way different. But it says the same thing with different words. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Sounds really easy, doesn't it? Be cheerful all the time. Oh, yeah, right, God. You know? And every time I read that verse, I think, I don't even like those people. You know, the cheerful all the time people? I don't want to be with them. I want real people. But I don't know that that's what God's talking about. I think cheerful might not be the way we talk about, you know, that phony plastic smile on, you know. But just in the midst of the sorrow, there's a joy, there's a cheer. Nora said it really well, in the midst of cancer. Lord knows she didn't want to hear that at all. But in the midst of it, there was some sense of, this is okay. And there was hope and cheer. I mean, that's what I heard. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, so I want to, yeah, okay. That God gives us that cheer, even in the midst of the very difficult times. Pray all the time. Is your life a prayer? Can you just turn to God during your day and say, God, here's what's going on and I need you right now? To me, that's the goal. That constant conversation, remembering that God is there to talk to all the time. And then thank God no matter what happens. What does your translation say? You guys have in the, if you picked up a pew one? Give thanks in all circumstances. I wanted to say that because it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It doesn't mean thank you, God, for the junk in my life. No. But God, thank you that in the midst of the junk, you're there. It's giving thanks in everything, not for everything. We thank God for the ways that God continues to touch us. So how would Jesus see the world? Cheerful no matter what, praying all the time, and thanking God no matter what happens. Back up just a few verses. It's paragraph, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It's the paragraph right before this one. And I just wanted to come to this. It's about halfway through. Message doesn't have verse, but it says something like this. Be patient with each other, attentive to individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. How would Jesus see the world? What do our sunglasses do? To me, the word that leapt off the page is individual. Jesus never seemed to see people for the labels. He didn't see prostitute, he saw Mary. He didn't see Samaritan, he saw woman at the well. I don't know her name, or I'd give it right, but the woman at the well, he saw her as an individual. He didn't see a Roman centurion. He saw a dad who was worried about his daughter who was sick. Jesus, for all time, seemed to just wipe away all of the labels. And my favorite one is he didn't see fishermen. He saw apostles. That's hopeful for all of us. He saw people as individuals, who they were. I wonder about how we go through our lives every day. Do we see people? Do we see the person? You know, in the grocery store, I see a cart that's in my way. On the freeway, I see a car that's going too slow or too fast. In my life, so often, I don't see the person. I see what they're doing to me, how it affects me. Sunglasses, I think, allow us to see the story that the person has, to reach out in love to that person. And maybe that's something really overt, and maybe it's just as simply as walking around that grocery cart with a smile on your face instead of being frustrated. What does God give us to see but one another? Individuals. This week, as I spoke earlier, has been a time of just surrender for me. There's goals that, you know, we all have, and there's things that we want, and we want things to change. And God says, not now, not yet. Wait up, and I pray, hurry, please. Make the change. Make things different. But maybe that's up to us. You know, maybe that's up to us to kind of go out and see people in new and different ways. And not how they can serve us, but how we can serve them. Not how they're in our way, but how they're in our way and we can connect with them in a new way, in a different way. I want to reclaim, you guys heard me say this was months ago, and I kind of let go of it, and I want to reclaim tonight a little bit of what we're about as this body, the body, this worship gathering that we have. And I want us to begin to see ourselves when we pray together, not as inwardly focused, but outwardly focused. I have this weird image of my mind as, you know how we circle up to pray and we hold hands often, and we all face the center of the circle. I want us to turn around, metaphorically. I think it'd be awkward, you know, literally to kind of turn around. But in our hearts and in our minds, I want us as a body, as this worshiping community, to turn around and to remember that it's not about us at all. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about what we are encouraged to do and to go. And I had a friend this week, we were talking about worship, and we got in the idea of numbers. You know, we want more people. Always, you know, we pastors always want more people at everything. Can we get more people? Can we get more people? And she challenged me to think in a different way, and the challenge was this. It's not how many people who come. It's how many people are touched by those who come. What a difference. It's not how many people gather in this place. It's how well we go forth from this place and touch the people in our lives each and every day. For me, that changes everything. It changes what we're about as a worshiping community. We don't come for one another necessarily. We don't come to have ourselves fed. We need the food. But we come and then we go, to reach out to the world around us. What's your circle of impact? How is God working through you and the people around you? God's eyes, God's ears, and I want to expand it. God's hands, God's feet, and God's mouth. Is Jesus living in and through you, and how are you impacting the people around you? The overwhelming presence of God coming upon you in your everyday, ordinary life and using it to reach out in love and service to the world. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending us out. Challenge us not to hold it all inside and keep it all to ourselves, but send us. We might not be able to change the world all by ourselves, but maybe, just maybe, we can infuse a little bit of your love, your peace, your patience, your kindness into our circle of influence every day. God, give us sunglasses. Give us those hearing aids that help us to hear you clearly. And then guide our hands, our feet, and our mouths as we go forth to touch your people in your name. In Jesus' name, we lift up this and every prayer. Amen.